Because an unknown tune. I remember years ago, Dan and I were down in Wales and we went to this big civic occasion, and everything they sung was in Welsh. And then they said, right, for the English speaking people, we're going to sing hymn whatever. We thought, brilliant, we know the tune. Guess what happened? They sang it to a tune we didn't ken. One of these things. However, tonight we're going to read the Word of God, and could we start please at Acts chapter 52. Acts 52, reading at verse 13. Acts 52, reading from verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut up their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who has believed their report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his dead, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. We turn over, please, to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And we'll read from verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. In our country, there are people who try various places of worship, trying to find answers. Some don't travel very far, some will travel great distances. This man from Ethiopia, we read, is a man with great responsibility, responsible for the treasury of Ethiopia. Responsible to Queen Candace. And he'd come a long journey from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. And to a certain extent, his mind was still in a bit of confusion. Because it would appear he's come to Jerusalem, he's come to worship, and things haven't fallen into place as he thought they would be. He was a man with a mission. He'd come to find satisfaction for his soul. He'd come to Jerusalem, the place where the Jews worship. And it would appear he's come away from Jerusalem disappointed. He's on a leg of a journey going back to Ethiopia. He's disappointed, but he's not given up. He's still thinking. He's still searching. And he's reading then what we call the Old Testament. But unknown to him, there's something happening. God is going to start to intervene. And so, Philip has been on a preaching campaign. The Lord speaks to him and says, go down to Gaza. I've got a job for you. And without question, Philip goes. But this is a desert place, but it's also in the trade route. And the time comes when this man is on his chariot, so I've got to assume somebody else is driving it. And he's reading the Old Testament word of God. And he's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. But he doesn't understand what he's reading. The message hasn't got through to him. And he's still puzzled. And God takes another step to intervene with this man. And he speaks to Philip again. He says, look, go and join yourself to that chariot. Go and join yourself to that man. And the scene must have been something like this. But Philip, maybe walking alongside, could hear the man reading. And he says to him, do you understand what you're reading? And the man who scratched his head said, no, really. I need somebody to point me in the right direction. And then we're told that what actually happened was this. That Philip took him from the scriptures he was reading, Isaiah chapter 53, and preached to him, Jesus Christ. He maybe said something to this effect. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who was completely sinless, who was born of a virgin, came to this world with a message. The message being that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But I'm working. I'm a kind of entitled person, as somebody here will testify. If I'm in the garage, it's no problem. I just take my toolbox and I tip everything out on the floor. And at that, I can just cast a glance and see what I'm needing. But if I'm working in the house, I've got to try and be a wee bit tidier. There's something you find, you get one tool buried under the other and it's murder. So, I've still got to seek. I've got to look and I'll try to find what I'm looking for. So this man is definitely trying to find something. He's trying to find something to satisfy his soul. And Philip says, look, the Lord Jesus came, the Lord Jesus died, but that wasn't all that was involved in it. The Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And this may be struck a chord in the man's head. I'm lost. I'm needing to be found. Tell me more. He says, look, the Lord Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, nobody could find fault with him unless he made a trumped-up charge, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's one thing. I'm lost, I need to be found. So what does Philip do? He says, look, when we look at these scriptures that we've been reading together, he says, what's actually happened is this. The Lord Jesus Christ was made to be a sacrifice for you and for me. And it was made in such a fashion that he was taken prisoner. And while he was taken prisoner, he was scoffed at, He was mocked. He was spat on. Folk took a purple robe and put it on him. They put a crown of thorns on him, crowned his head. They put a purple robe on him, trying to signify it was of royalty. They stuck a reed in his hand. But it was all done in mockery. You see, the enemy started to buffet him, mocking his claim that he was the Son of God. You see, who smote you? And once that was done, to add insult to injury, they took him and they flogged him. He was almost beyond human recognition. The Bible in the Old Testament here told us, his face was marred more than the sons of any man. Punched beyond recognition. Lashed almost to a pulp. And this is what the man is saying. This is what he's trying to tell this man. And then all that happened, what was really happening was this. Jesus Christ is fulfilling the scripture that he was the Lamb of God. He was the Son of God who came to die to save sinners. He says he came to deliver a people, not from a physical oppression. He came to save a people, not from a physical torment, but from a spiritual torment, a torment that affected their soul, a torment that affected their heart. He came to set them free. He came to deliver them free, to deliver them from the burden of sin. Because sin captivates, it holds prisoner, it tries to bear people down. And this man was possibly in that sort of position, feeling that there was something missing in his life, something that he couldn't put his finger on. And he thought he could find it in religion, so he went to Jerusalem to pray. And what he found was the temple worship had no effect on him at all. Up until I was almost 15, I went to church. I heard the story about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of them I could tell. But I'd never come face to face with the fact that Jesus Christ came on this earth to die as a personal saviour. I heard about him, spoke about him, but he didn't belong to me. He was mine. I was never brought face to face with him. So through these scriptures, Philip is trying to bring this man face to face with Jesus Christ. And though you're sort of reading in between the lines, he says, look, this man came, he suffered, he died, he was brutalized. But wasn't he to no avail? The Lord Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God to be a sacrifice for sin, which he accomplished by going to Calvary's cross, hanging between rogue and thief, and offering himself as a sacrifice to God on your behalf and on mine, so we could have our sins forgiven. And he maybe told them, maybe, I don't know, but he maybe told them about the two thieves on either, the thief on either side of him when he was being crucified, when he was crucified, and one railing on him, casting doubt on his personality. If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross, save yourself and us. Anybody told them about that? But there again, he maybe told them about the other thief who gave up his railing, looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the answer the Lord Jesus Christ gave, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Or again, he may have told them of those who had the duty of crucifying him. And the centurion who beheld him on the cross says, surely this is a righteous man. We don't know all that Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, but of this I'm certain. He told them that he was God's sacrifice for sin. And this time, it wasn't for the individual. It wasn't for the nation. This time, this sacrifice, one sacrifice for sin forever, for the whole humanity. And something must have clicked in the man's brain. And he thought, this is for me. This is what I've been looking for. And then he probably went further and said, look, those men took that body of the Lord Jesus Christ, took it down from the cross, and laid it in a grave. A grave which was prophesied before, where no man had ever been buried before. And he says, he wasn't just that he died and he was buried in a grave, which is the normal way of doing things. He didn't stay there. 3 days later, women who went to embalm the body were kind of worried. He went out first thing in the morning, the idea of going to embalm the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened? Among themselves they said, there's a big stone rolled against the mouth of the grave. How are we going to move it? And what happened? They arrived. The stone was gone. They looked inside the cave which was being used for a grave. There was nobody. But angels spoke to them and told them to go and tell the disciples, the Lord Jesus is not here. He is risen. What was he doing? He was fulfilling the scripture. He was not here. He is risen. So today, this evening, I can't present to you a dead Christ. But he's no dead. What I can present to you is a living Christ. He who had no sin, neither word, thought, nor deed, was totally sin-free because he was, in essence, God manifest in flesh. Impossible for him to sin. So death, which is a result of sin, has no claim on him. So he could overcome death. And I think, starting from Isaiah 53, Philip went through all these various things with this man. But sometimes when you get knowledge, or you're made aware of something, you can't just say, that's fine, I know now, and do nothing. There are times when you receive a piece of knowledge, it causes a course for action. And you know how you have the expression, You can sit on the fence, do nothing. You don't have to be up one way or another. When it comes to trusting Jesus Christ for salvation, and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ implicitly, there is no sitting on the fence. I can't remember the exact wording of the hymn, but one line it says, neutral you cannot be. You're either for Jesus Christ or against Jesus Christ. There are folk who will tell you, I've no convictions either way. You can take it or leave it. In the light of what the Bible teaches, you can't take it or leave it. You cannot sit on the fence. What the Bible requires and desires from you and me, and the Lord Jesus requires, is a decision one way or another. You cannot be neutral. The Lord Jesus requires us to do two things. Now, I'm going to digress a little bit. And I'm going to go into Paul's conversion. And what happened was this. Paul was anti-Jesus Christ. Out and out anti-Jesus Christ. And on his way to carry out further persecution to those who believed in that way, the Christian way, the Jesus Christ way, he was stopped dead in his tracks. He was stopped dead in his tracks. And he heard a voice, which to him was as clear as a bell. And it was the voice of Jesus Christ saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And in that split second came the recognition that he was wrong. What he was doing was wrong. And that Jesus Christ had a personal interest in him. Tonight, Jesus Christ has a personal interest in every one of us. Both saved and unsaved. And Paul, or Saul as he was then, when he was brought to his knees, literally, he says this, Lord, what do you want me to do? In a split second, he recognized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. All that the Christians had told him Jesus was. He realized in a split second that the sacrifice for sin made on Calvary's cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice for sin so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be pardoned, so that we could be delivered from the weight and from the judgment of sin. He realized that in a split second. And he also realized there was no way of getting out making a decision. Unfortunately, he made the right decision by trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior. But this man has got, Philip has taken this man a stage further, the same. You don't just need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He said, if you're going to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized as well. So as they go on in their journey, they come to a piece of open water. And the Ethiopian eunuch maybe looks at Philip a bit questioningly and says, look, here's water. What stopped me from being baptized? And Philip lays it right on the line. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, with all your heart, with all your mind, and you're a believer, you can be baptized. And the man's reaction was, I'll have to try and find it. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he went down with Philip into the water and was baptized. And in that action, what he was recognizing was this, that Jesus Christ had come, died on Calvary's cross to set the sinner free, and that we, by believing in him, could experience God's forgiveness of sin. And not just that, what he was doing was this, when he went down into the water with Philip, and Philip baptized him. In other words, Philip put him physically under the water and brought him up again. This man was identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says this, this man went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? Because when he went to Jerusalem, his quest for satisfaction, his quest to have this niggling away his soul answered, hadn't happened. But in the reading of the scripture with Philip, he found the answers to his quest. He found the answers that was niggling away his soul, that he needed to be at one with God. And the only way he could do that was by trusting Jesus Christ as his Saviour. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans 10 and 9 we read this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Until the 1st of June in 1960, I had never ever heard these words, never heard them spoken. But there was a truth dawned on me. It's not enough to hear about the Lord Jesus. It's not enough to speak about the Lord Jesus. It's a submission, a giving in of letting him have control of your heart, not just your mind, but having control of your heart, coming in and taking control of your life, him becoming both Lord and Saviour. This man made a mental decision which affected his spiritual life, and he was a different man going back to Ethiopia than the man that came. The man that came to Jerusalem was Christless. The man going down to Gaza was Christless. Had the truth been known that his soul was bound for hell, there was no arguing about it. But from Gaza to Ethiopia, it's a whole different story. This man was in Christ, a believer, saved from sin, from his guilt, from his penalty, from his judgment that God is sure to dish out. He was free. Why was he free? Because he heard the truth of the scriptures. And he believes it. Tonight, we can be saved. We can be set free from sin. We've read the scripture tonight. I put the question to you. Do you believe it? This man believed it in his mind and in his heart. And I put the question to you tonight. Do you believe in both your mind and your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who was the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God that was made to take away your sin and mine? If so, you're in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. The chains of sin have been untied and you're free. Tonight I would plead with you, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, this is the time to do it. The here and now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We are guaranteed here and now. I'll put the question to you. If, for whatever reason, you were to pass into eternity, the split second you walked out the hall, I put the question to you. If you passed into eternity, you died. Would you be with Christ or without Christ? Would you be with Christ in heaven or outside of Christ in hell? Only you can answer that question. I can answer it for you. Eternal life's in the question, enjoy for eternity. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? I know what mine was 48 years ago. What about yours? Why not trust Jesus Christ tonight and make him your very own? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, in all sincerity, I've tried to dispatch my responsibility of telling people they need to trust Jesus Christ as a Saviour or they're bound for a lost eternity. I've read of a man who met Jesus Christ and his life was changed forever. Lord, tonight, should there be one in the company who as yet has never trusted your Son as Saviour, we pray that they will trust him as a Saviour and they will go on their way rejoicing. Different because instead of being sin controlled, they can be Christ controlled, yielded to him to be both Lord and the Saviour. Lord, we ask this, committing ourselves to you now, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.